Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. We hope you enjoyed this message.
I'm going to ask Aaron to come over here and help me. I'm going to ask you in the sanctuary to stand out of respect for God's word. We're in Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. I will read the first verse of 21, and I want you to follow Aaron and read out loud with the second verse, verse 22, and we'll go back and forward, back and forth. Matthew 18, verse 21, hear the word of the Lord. Then Peter came and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? Verse 22.
No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven.
Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. Verse 24.
In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars.
He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. Verse 26.
But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all.
Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave him his debt. Verse 28.
But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him $1,000. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment.
His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time. Be patient with me, and I will pay it. I will pay it, he pleaded. Verse 30.
But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full.
When some of the other servants saw this, they were upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Verse 32.
King called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me.
Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Verse 34.
Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt.
That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Aaron. Lord, I pray today that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, will be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat. Well, before I begin today, I was praying about sharing with you, and I wanted to give you, I need to bring you in. For those of you online and here, I need to bring you in and ask you to pray about something with me. I know that Pastor Trisha and myself and the staff and the elders have been working diligently and praying about this situation, and I don't know that we've really talked from the stage. I know I haven't, and God convicted me, and I want you to join us in prayer. And that is for one more position that we are in desperate need of at our church. We've been over a year without a real kids pastor and or director, and it has not been because we have not tried. I'm not going to go into all the details of all the things that we've been working diligently at and trying to figure this out. We have a national firm that's been working. We've gone through over 100 candidates and resumes, etc., and we are still searching and believing God for that individual. I'm asking you to join me. First, I want to say this. Our team is amazing. Kelly stepped up for a long time, our director for Explore and Grow. Pastor Rich is in our Real Kids today, and he's been stepping up. So our team has just filled the gaps well, but we really believe there was several things that I said to you through the year when COVID hit. I said, we have to get a children's pastor, we need to get a second youth pastor, we need to get an outreach pastor, and we need to get an online pastor. We got three of those. We need this God to do this last one. And I believe by you and all of you agreeing, those of you who have children, you feel it a little bit more. Or you have grandchildren, you feel it a little bit more. But regardless if you feel it or not, would you join me that God would do this? We need God to show up and give us the person that he wants for this position. So I'm making it known to you that not just a few of us, not just the leaders, but all of us join together and pray for this, and then we will keep you updated as God begins to give us what we need. How many of you, by clapping your hands, would say, Pastor, I didn't know this, but I'm going to begin praying and put it on my prayer list, and we're going to watch God do a miracle. How many of you join us? Thank you for that. Deeply appreciate that. Today is a new series. It's entitled Victory Over the Emotions of the Heart. This is a tough series because when we talk about the heart, it's the core of who we are. And the battle for our hearts, they are real. And these emotions that come our way, they have one goal: to take us out and to take us down and destroy us. We could talk about a lot of emotions, but we're only going to talk about four over the next 4 weeks. We're going to talk about anger, jealousy, guilt, and greed. And here's what I want you to do with me. For those of you who are at home and those of you in the sanctuary, I want you to take a time out. I don't want you to just to listen thinking this is a really good talk for such and such. Because I believe all four of these emotions, we all dance with them a little bit. And we all are tempted by them. Some of us more in one and some ways than other. But I believe God wants to deliver us and free us today. So would you listen? Would you listen to the Holy Spirit in a way that you haven't listened before? Because I believe he will speak. Would you quiet your hearts and allow his power to speak to you in such a way that you would say, I'm listening, Lord. I really want this to happen. I want to see victory. Okay? Now, today, we're going to start with that first emotion. We're going to look at it. It's called anger. And oh, is that not relevant today? We are probably seeing the rise of anger in levels in my short lifetime than I've ever seen in society. We're angry about everything. And we are not ashamed to share it with everyone. Can I get an amen? The crazy thing is that we've seen that anger for a long time in the social aspects of our world. We've seen it in our schools. We've seen it on in politics, and those just were heightened. We've seen it in racial tension. But do you know where? And we've seen it even anger in our families and in our homes. But where we've seen it most frequently that hasn't been as high as in this day and age is that it's entered the church. And people are not afraid to tell the pastors what they think in a way that they know what they're saying, in a way that when they walked away, they know that they are turned sideways because of something that you did. Do you know that you need to be praying for pastors? No, I would say, KCC, I applaud you. We aren't anything compared to what churches around America are experiencing. Pastors are at risk today like never before. And I wasn't even scripted to say that. But they simply are at their end. And I think one of all the complexities of that, I think a key of that is we're seeing anger just thwarted at pastors at levels we've never seen before. God help us. Anybody agree with what I'm saying? God help us. Now, when I address this, my question to us is, so when I look at the issue of anger, what is it? I'm always about simplifying things. Anger is simply this. You owe me something. You took something from me. You don't get anything else. Get that. I'm angry because you or someone took something from me that I wanted, or you kept something from me. And as a result, I am angry. And I've got to try to deal with this. And people who are angry all the time, we call them angry people. Question: is angry as an emotion a sin? The answer clearly is no. Matthew 21, we know Jesus had what? A righteous anger, did he not? When the house of worship, literally translated there in Matthew 21, do you know it says, my house is a house of prayer for the nations. A lot of translations miss it. My house is a prayer for the nations, and you've made it into a den of thieves. And what does he do? He takes a whip. You know the story. He drives people out. He overturns table. That's a righteous anger. That's for justice. That's for God's glory. Do you follow me? Most of us, even though we understand that, anger is one of the most dangerous emotions, and it's very few of us that can actually turn that to a righteous anger. We end up having to go to places that we don't want to go. I remember I was working with refugees in a country, and I was with a Marine who was a lieutenant colonel, and we were in an orphanage, and we were looking at assessing the situation, and as I was watching, I could feel my blood starting to rise as they had a roof that had basically fallen in, and they had a tarp over it, and they had beds without mattresses, and they had a floor that was dirt, and they had a trough that they went to the bathroom in that you wouldn't put your animals near. And I looked over the way across the street with their high walls was the government officials with their mansions and their Mercedes-Benz. Something inside of me for justice. I wanted to take my fist and put it through the wall. And then I wanted to go over and do something to those folks. But I was able to step back and pray, and it switched to a bad kind of anger to a righteous anger where the colonel and I came together, raised the funds, and built an orphanage for those children. But very seldom do we actually do that. Most of the time when we're talking about anger, it ends taking us places we don't want to go. And you and I need to understand that as Christians, we sanctify anger. And we use other words. Well, I'm just agitated. I'm frustrated. Or I'm disappointed. Just call it for what it is. You're freaking angry. And understand that anger equals deeper hurt. Anger equals hurt because you took something from me. You took my reputation by your gossip and by your backstabbing. You took my family from me because you were unfaithful or because the kids decided they were going sideways. You took my best years from me because of health issues or stress. You took my purity from me. You owe me a second chance. You owe me a raise. You owe me an opportunity. You owe me affection. You see, you owe me something, and anger equals hurt. The problem is you can't pay these things back like you pay bills. Once it's happened, it's gone. And it can't come back any way that we hope. But anger is this dangerous emotion that if it's left unbridled, it will lead to a trail of destruction. I can't tell you how many men in churches that as I've ministered who had been in jail or been in drug addiction centers, and they said to me, Pastor, if I would have only waited 5 seconds, my life would have been completely different. But I let anger overtake me, and as a result, here I am today. We try payback with revenge, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Apology, favor, money, and some other restitution. We create these relationships of a debt-debtor relationships. And it all becomes this manipulation that somehow I can hold over somebody. Now, the answer to this thing called anger is one word. And let me say clearly, if you are dealing with anger today in some form or some fashion, you're not going to like this word. You're not going to like it. But it's the only way. And the word is forgiveness. There are four types of people on my mind as it relates to forgiveness. Number one, those who say, clear cut, at least they're honest. I will not forgive. If you only knew what they did, won't go there. And the anger creates inside of them. Second group of people, I want to forgive. I hear the teaching, but I can't. The third group is the most scary. I have forgiven. And we look at their lives and know, they haven't forgiven. And the fourth group is where we want to be. I've been forgiven. As a result, I can forgive. And so as we look at this, we need to understand today that there is a process. And I want to give what I believe Andy Stanley gave us, a great process. The first point I would give to you is how we move towards freedom from anger. Number one, it's clear. Identify with whom you're angry with. Identify who you're angry with. Can somebody say courage? Say it again, courage. You see, you may think when I say this, wait a minute, Pastor, it's obvious. I know who I'm angry with. I know what they did and I know what they took from me. But time out. Here's what I want to say. That may be true for some of you, but if you've lived a life of anger for a long time and just declare, I just have a bad temper, or I just go off the handle really quick. The reality is if you've lived a life of anger, it has built upon itself and you no longer know what you're even angry about anymore. It's just a whole group of things. And as a result, you need to back up and say and ask the question, who am I angry with? And it takes real courage. It's a scary thing to go there, to deal with straight up. Let me remind you what Scripture says in 2 Timothy 1:7. I didn't give you a spirit of fear, right? I gave you a spirit of courage to identify who this is. And you and I need to understand this is what we're all about. Now, there are many, many events in our life that cause anger in our lives. Those that we cause, right, by our decisions, we make bad choices, and as a result, we feel the consequences and we can get angry. But then the second one's where I want to land, and that is there are the events of life that I had nothing to do with, but something was still taken from me as a result. That's called sin and the broken world in which we live in, right? In the last months, I've lost five people to death. Family, close friends, for a variety of things. Many of you could echo that. I'm like, it's not fair, anybody else? Just this last week, the guy I went to Taylor with, one of my best friends, he's been doing urban work for as long as me, and he pulled up to his house in St. Louis, and 7 shots rang out into his car. I saw the picture of the 7 bullets. God spared his life, but 1 bullet crushed his whole shoulder, but he's in repair. His response was incredible. And I'm like, there's a side of me that wants to get really angry. This is not fair. This is the world we live in. Maybe you're experiencing this right now. Can I remind you of a passage of Scripture? And I'm going off of script again, so whatever. But I'm really wanting to give you a biblical how we respond to this situation. I'm reminded of James 1. Do you know it? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind. Not if, but when. We live in a world that is fallen. We're all, if you live long enough, you're going to go there. Do you know that Jesus is the only religion that declared, no servant is ahead of his leader. They hated me. I face struggle. So you will too. All the pagan religions were like, we're going to appease God so that we don't have to suffer. Jesus said, you want to follow me? They hated me. They're going to hate you. You're going to suffer. So James 1 says, so you're going to count it joy when these things happen, and you can make a choice when you're going through it, whatever yours is. It's a health issue. It's a relationship issue. It's a financial issue. It's an emotional issue. And you get to choose. You had nothing to do with it, but it was taken from you. Am I going to choose anger and it's going to take me down this? Or am I going to do what James 1 says and say, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of like this, because trials develop what? Perseverance. In the Greek there, the perseverance means a hyper perseverance. It's the same Greek word when Jesus persevered all the way to the end of the cross. He never stopped. He went all the way. He didn't stop. He's saying, persevere to that extent, and guess what will happen? The reason why there's joy, then you will be mature and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, God is saying to us, it's not fair what you're going through, but don't choose anger. I want to use this in your life. And while you go through it, by the way, he says in that passage, and if you lack wisdom, ask of God. We use that always out of context in Scripture. That asking for wisdom in James is asking for wisdom in the middle of your trial and your crisis and your pain. While you're in the middle of it, ask for it. And he says, but when you ask, you must what? Believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is a double-minded man. He's unstable. Double-minded in the Greek literally means what? You haven't truly decided who you're following. You say it's Jesus. But the trial and the temptation shows you that you probably have your house half built on the sand and half built on the rock. And now it's quaking. And God is saying to you and I, don't choose anger. Allow this to, it's only going to be a period that you're going through. Allow God to use this in your life to take you where he wants to take you, because it will strip you and I of all the things that we don't even know we need to be stripped from in our lives. In other words, don't go through the pain and the suffering just for the sake of the pain and suffering. Allow God to use it to refine us and to shape us and mold us and to make us more like him. Can anybody say amen? And that was a whole nother sermon, but I thought, whatever. Identify who you are angry with. And if you choose anger, what does Ephesians 4:29-32 say? You will grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't have time to go into all of that. But grieving the Holy Spirit is one of the most severe things we can do as followers of Christ. Succinctly put, you will no longer feel him, his conviction, his power, his comfort, his love. It will be like this coldness between him and I. And then things will come out of you that you never thought would come out of you. He uses the example of unwholesome talk. So I will spew things that I would never know and never thought I would do, but now I've been overtaken by this thing called anger, and I've grieved the Holy Spirit because I've not allowed it to go through. In other words, we have decided, I am now the victim. And when we declare we're the victim, then we're justified in all of our actions because this was taken from me. And as a result, we make excuses are the norm and write off our behavior, and it's okay because I have no choice because I'm powerless and I'm in prison because of my situation. In Matthew 18, we know specifically the king knew what his debt was, and he was going to reconcile them, right? He knew what it was about. Just like the guy he forgave, he went after the other friend who owed him a lesser amount. So they were really specific in that passage. This is where we're at. You need to get there. Here's what I want you to do. I want you today specifically to do this. I want you to take a sheet of paper, and I want you to be honest before God and get quiet and make a list of who I'm angry at. It may be one individual. It may be a whole list of individuals. They may be alive and they may be dead. You may be angry with you. And more importantly, you may be angry with God. Trust me, he can handle it. Write his name, G-O-D. I'm angry with you, God. Well, I wonder what Job was like in that first part of the chapter, right? You took my kids, you took my wealth, you took my health, my wife cursed me and said, die. God, what are you up to? You think he was a little emotional? Do you think that God can handle it? Be specific with it. I remember when I was serving overseas and Tahir was dying and I led him to Jesus and I was frustrated about a whole thing, and as I, with his family, took him to the hospital to care for him and his cancer, and the hospital, that's a whole nother discussion, didn't really care, and they said, just send him home. And I was angry. And I got to confess, I went off in that moment. I remember going into the director's office, which you're not allowed to do, obviously. And I took my fist and I hit wham, and the door went pow. And I talk even as fast as this in Azerbaijani when I get, you know what? And I walked over to the guy and I said, you're going to hell with your cigarette in your mouth because you don't care. But see, it felt good for about this long. And then I went back into my prayer closet, and God's Spirit said to me, yeah, you're angry at the director, but you're really angry at me. And until you get that right, you're going to divert it to everything else. Does this make sense? There are a lot of us here today that are angry at God, and we're not willing to go there. And until we go there and identify who we're angry with, we're never going to be able to experience what he wants to experience. Write it on the list. Avoid the denial. The key point of number one is acknowledge who you're angry with. Very simple. The second thing you need to do is not acknowledge who you're angry with, but the second is determine what they owe you. Determine what they owe you. Can somebody say, be specific? And what I mean about being specific is this. We're really good in the church world about being general. About our own lives. Oh Lord, just forgive me of everything. Hallelujah, let's go on. Praise the Lord. It's a lot more painful to get specific about the stupid decision that you made, and now you're angry about it because of the result of it, right? And it's the same in our relationship with people, and there's so many of them. I'm generally mad. You have to specifically go there and acknowledge what is it that they took from me. And if you don't, and if I don't become specific of what they took from me, here's what will happen. It's called a stronghold. Stronghold, succinctly put, is this. The spirits that are out to destroy us, we have now given them inroad into our lives, and a spirit of anger will be upon you. And then when you go through life and things happen that you don't like and things are kept from you, you will explode in ways and you walk away from it going, what just happened to me? I can't even stop that. That's called a stronghold. And until you become specific and elect God as the true transformer, the surgeon, the one that does all those things that we trust him for, are we ever going to see how it's going to change our lives? Now, in this passage in Matthew 18, they were very, very specific. Very, very specific. We see first that Peter comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, how many times do I got to forgive? Seven?" But they knew up to this point, the rabbinic teaching was three strikes and you're out. That was the typical teaching. One, two, three. On the fourth one, you cut him off. And Jesus responds to him in a way and says, "No, 70 times seven. What does that mean? Does that mean the 400th and 91st time I can like go to hell on the guy?" No. The guy exactly knew, Peter knew, that he was being specific and said, "This is continuously. This is where freedom is at. Doesn't mean you go and allow yourself to be abused over and over and over again, but you will be only free when you choose to do this and be specific with it." And then the king went to the man who owed him. The scripture says, New Living Translation doesn't give it. It translates it in a way you understand it, but the original translation in most versions says he owed him 10,000 talents. To give you a visual, that's like he had cartloads of gold he owed the king. That's why it said millions of dollars. In other words, it was impossible. That's what he owed him. And he was going to throw him in jail, but he asked for mercy, right? And Jesus clearly was trying to say something to us. Y'all, when you read this, guess what? You don't read it less way often, but you should. You're that guy. Your debt to God is cartloads of stuff that you do not have the capacity or the power or the will to ever pay back. And just like the king forgave him and gave him mercy, he's doing to you and I. And then when he walked away from the king, he had a guy that owed him specifically, and the translation again is not that good, says he owes him millions of dollars, but it actually translates a day's wages. And if you do all the math and look into the original, it's basically $2 a day. In other words, whether you say thousands of dollars or $2 a day, his debt was payable. But the man was not willing to forgive the debt, even though he had been forgiven. That's the crazy thing about this. And even the relationship with Jesus and Peter, Jesus was very specific about what Peter owed him. You go, what are you talking about? Jesus said to Peter early on, "You're going to be the rock and I'm going to build my church on you," right? You're going to be the leader. Jesus dies, Peter denies him, and then Peter says, "I'm done, I'm leaving, I'm going back fishing," right? He quits. Jesus raises from the dead. John 21, he meets Peter and he's specific with him. And he says, "Peter, not only do you love me," what's he say three times? "Feed my sheep. This is what you owe. This is what I've entrusted you with." Very specific with Peter. And we have to be specific about what it is that was taken from us. You see, angry people are people whose hearts are hurt and are not healed, and they are set off quickly. Nothing will appease their anger. Anger has become a friend to them. Can you believe that? A friend. In other words, you've learned to use it to your advantage to get what you want, to intimidate, to strike fear, to control. Coaches do this. Teachers do this. Bosses do this. Parents even do this. But when we do this, we alienate ourselves from our closest relationships. And it's convenient to forget the specific that is owed me, because when I do that, then I can continue to control them and hold it over their head to get what I want. And I know that all of us are tempted to do this in relationships. Acknowledge who it is. Number two, what is it they owe you? And then we come to the hardest part. Number three, you and I have to cancel the debt. Can somebody say, "It is finished"? Say it again, "It is finished." In other words, let's decide today to stop carrying it around. Stop carrying that anger around. Enough is enough. You've been deceived if you continue to do it. Jesus said, "You will be free if you keep forgiving." If you keep forgiving, you will be free. Now we see ourselves in this story, right? The man who was forgiven the debt that he could not pay back went out and said to the man, throws him in jail when he owed him a day's wages. How did that happen? I am convinced many of us in the church are exactly here as it relates to anger and forgiveness. We receive the forgiveness, but it's for us and for the man in the parable, it wasn't about the forgiveness as much as that he was off the hook. And there's a big difference between just getting off the hook and not having to pay and truly understanding, "I've been forgiven." And for a lot of us, we represent that man. We love the benefits of being not being guilty, but at the same time, we live because we've never fully received it, and we are then being very angry and demanding from everybody else. The entire New Testament message is clear, is it not? That people that are able to forgive, the only ones that are those who have experienced forgiveness. Jesus says it, Paul says it over and over again. And so when we talk about canceling a debt, Jesus clearly shows this is what's happened, and that man never truly experienced it. Going back to this thing called revenge. I can't tell you how many conversations, I bet you have had also been thinking about it, men that would say, I have to have revenge. It is a lie from the pit of hell. Whatever that revenge is, it now controls you for the rest of your life. And whatever it is you feel justified to get back at them, they will then be with you for the rest of your lives. What they took from you and the feeling and the pain and all that will be with you until you move forward. But revenge only traps you. It lies. It never gives what it wants. And what you need to understand today is that if you can't cancel the debt, it is self-destruction. Paul tells us, continuing in Ephesians 4, 31 to 32, he says, what you need to do, he didn't say part of it, he said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Now what is Paul saying here? Ready? Bitterness, all it is a prolonged length of anger. Anger that goes for a long period of time, moves to bitterness, and we all know what bitter people look like and act like. They are not fun people to be around. And the second one is rage, which I've already alluded to. Rage in that scripture is what? That's where anger, and you are like a slave to it, and you act immediately. And as a result, there's severe consequences that happen with that. And what does he say in verse 32 of 4 of Ephesians? Actually get rid of all of it. The Greek means to totally separate yourself, bring it to the foot of the cross. And then he says, after you get rid of it at the foot of the cross, replace it. Don't just get rid of it, replace it. And he specifically tells us the way we replace it is with what? Compassion, kindness. Pastor Rich is speaking on kindness today, when that was a Holy Spirit thing to our kids, and forgiveness. And the way you and I can forgive, here's another part of New Testament, verse 32, because Christ forgave you. If you've experienced it, it will do all the difference in the world. Paul had every reason when he wrote this to be a person of anger. He was in jail, unjustly, he was being tried, and in the middle of all that, he's saying, don't be angry. Don't be of rage, don't be of bitter, but be kind, compassionate, forgiveness. That's when you know that you know that you know that you really believe it, when you're in the middle of it and you're proclaiming it and living it. How many of you remember the doctor from Michigan State that was abusing our children for all the athletes? Horrible, wasn't it? For years, a couple years that thing was going on nationally. I remember all of that, and I remember I had a family from one of my former churches call me. Their daughter's an incredible gymnast, and said, unfortunately, our daughter was one of those. And before they sentence the doctor, they're going to let each family member speak a word. And I need your help, Pastor, because I want to extend forgiveness. So we talked through it. And the mom understood what? That today, we're drawing the line in the sand, and you're no longer going to be on this journey of life with us. Forgiveness is more about my freedom than it is about blessing you, that I can move on. And the only way that can happen is because they'd experienced in their own life. And they did exactly that. But do you know, in our media, that was never televised. Because what does society say? Revenge? Attack? And you remember the story of the father who realized what happened to his daughters, and he jolted across the courtroom and was getting ready to beat the living daylights out of the guy, right? And America was like, I would have done that if that was my girls. That is natural response. I'm not blaming the dad at all. I'm just saying that's what we're talking about, the biblical worldview compared to the world's view. If he had gotten a hold of him and did whatever it is he wanted to do with him, guess what would have happened? That doctor would have been with him for his rest of his life. They would have never been able to move on. And unfortunately, in the world, what do? We applaud that and say that's the way it's supposed to work. We live in a bizarro, upside-down world, do we not? And this was an example to me to understand, when you forgive this family that I love, she already understood. I wasn't saying what happened was okay. It was horrible. But we're going to be free, and we're choosing freedom today, and we're canceling the debt. You're not going to be in our family any longer. And only people who've truly been forgiven, not like the first debtor who didn't understand it, those who've truly experienced what it meant, that I had a debt that I could not pay, God forgave it, he paid for it, now I can extend it to others, and I can move on with my life. That is the only hope, even if you're mad at God. See, what I want you to do with that piece of paper is make that list, whether it's God, you, or the list of people. I want you to do something with that paper. This is a really practical sermon. I've got to confess, in my life, I've had a few situations. Probably goes with my personality. But I've had a few situations. And I used to fly a lot more than I do today. And as I was flying on those airplanes, I would write that list and I would journal. This is stuff that I practice. And as I would land, and before my wife would come and pick me up, I would take the sheet of paper and say, Lord, it's finished. With all the strangers around me, as I'm walking through the terminal, I would take the paper and drop it in the trash can and walk to the curbside to be picked up by my wife and say, it's over. That's what I'm asking you to do. It's to take that paper, burn it, shred it, throw it away, and symbolically saying, I cancel the debt. You see, the key point is this: extend authentic forgiveness and experience the victory over anger. There is one more that you may not know is going to happen after you do these three, and that is this. Number four, dismiss the case. Can somebody say, don't keep score? Say it again, don't keep score. In the Greek, forgiveness is a gift. But here's what's going to happen, and some of you already know this. You cancel the debt, you know who it is, you know what they took from you, et cetera, and the enemy will bring it back. A situation, an experience, an event will come back, and surely like nothing. Because it's a fallacy when people say to you, oh, you can forgive and forget. You can't forget. That's a stupid thing. That's about as stupid when we talk about multi-ethnicity and say, I don't see color. I see color. I don't know what you're talking about. That's the same thing when we say, I forget. You're not going to forget, but you can be healed from it. But from that point, you are truly going to be able to stand against it. In other words, don't deny when it comes. My application to this dismiss the case is that when it comes, acknowledge that it has come. Don't crank it up. Don't give it a foothold. That's why it says in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, in your anger, do not sin. If you do, you will give the devil a foothold. Acknowledge that it is returned. Don't invite it. Face it. Repeat to it, clearly, it is over. I made this choice. I've dismissed the case. Thank God that it is over. Put on a post-it or something, Philippians 4, 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, if anything is excellent, et cetera, or praiseworthy, think about such things. Transform your mind. Stand against it. That's the reality of the tension we live in. In other words, you're going through this thing called life. I'm going through this thing called life. And as we lean into Jesus, we will consider it joy. Not that we're struggling, but we're trusting the one who's stripping us of all the things that we need to be stripped of, that we would never know if we weren't experiencing this, that then allows us not to be double-minded, that we were 100% on the rock and not half on the sand and half on the rock. Does this make sense? And I am then moving forward. Stop with the lie that says, that's just who I am. That's just my personality. That's a lie. We can be more than conquerors. We can be like Christ. Does anybody else agree with me? Yeah. If we do not get this right, and we do not dismiss the case, and this is what's happening around us because anger is so crazy, we don't even listen anymore. We're never quiet anymore. We can never talk with people that we disagree with. God forbid, be a friend with them. We can't hear. We can't talk. We can't listen. What am I trying to say? When we don't dismiss the case, we can't do relationship anymore. community out the window, levels of intimate friendships out the window, and what the enemy wants for you and I is isolation. I'm saying I'm not going there. Anybody with me? Dismiss the case and say, enough is enough. I'm not going through this. The key point is simple. Choose to never go back. Move ahead in the freedom that you've been given. And once you've experienced that, you trust him that it is pure joy and that he will allow us to be mature and complete, not lacking anything, because we will persevere to the very end, just like Jesus did, right? Do whatever it is you want to do in my life. And I know today in this place, the enemy will use life's events and hurts to disarm us, to disable us, that we cannot be the people that we're supposed to be. We talked about surrender last week, but we got to start and finish today by saying, I surrender my anger. I got to listen because I got to get to the core of what I'm really angry about. Why am I hurt? Why am I frustrated? For a lot of us are angry. We're angry at ourselves, and we're angry at God as much as we are angry at other people, dead and alive. Does this make sense? But it takes a lot of courage to go there. Are you willing to trust him? Some of you in the room and those of you online, anger has been such a part of your life. You're fearful to what it would look like without it. That may sound a little strange to some people, but I've seen it over and over again with addiction, with people with crazy habits that they don't like. They simply don't know what life looks like without it, and they self-implode because at least they're fearful about going to the unknown. They'll stay in the horribleness of their current situation. Don't! Surrender your anger. Surrender your right to be paid back. Surrender your heart. Choose the road of Jesus and choose the ability to be forgiven so that I can extend forgiveness, so that I can be free. Is this resonated with anybody? I can't tell whether you're with me or asleep or resting in Jesus. How many of you would acknowledge that this message is more pertinent in this moment than we can begin to express in the society and in the churches, in our politics, et cetera, we need the biblical worldview, how we walk through this. And fortunately, we've got it. The question is, are you gonna do what James says? Are you gonna listen to the word and do what it says? Or in a moment, are you gonna walk out of here and forget what it says? Like the man who looks at his face in the mirror and immediately goes away and forgets what he looks like. Now the responsibility is yours. What are you gonna do with it? I believe there's victory. Anybody else? In my weakness, he is what? Sometimes, folks, he's gonna make us completely weak in order that we fully experience the power of God. Let me conclude with another illustration, but it's biblical. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We don't know what thorn that Paul had, whether it was physical or relationship or persecution, but he asked the Lord three times, take it from me. No problem with that. Take it from me. No problem with that. Take it from me. No problem with that. But if you choose not to, give me the grace to keep on keeping on because I can't do this anymore. And do you know what the Lord is saying to us? Regardless of your situation, that's exactly where I want you to be. You can't, but I can. And if we choose that today, when we're in the middle of the crisis, he'll give us what we need in that moment. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to ask the team to come on out here. I'm going to pray with you. With every head bowed online, and those of you live, before I pray with you, I want to call to those of you online. And if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about this thing, this emotion called anger in your heart, and it resonates with you, I'm asking you right now to choose forgiveness. And if you need prayer online, I want you to say, just write the word forgiveness. Our moderators will know what that means and they'll engage you. Just type in the chat if you're able, forgiveness. And as Faith plays the keyboard, I'm asking you to listen and write the word forgiveness. Now for the rest of you here and those of you online, don't check out on me. Those of you in the sanctuary, I've clearly declared to you even though we have a small group of people here today because of the weather, there's a good chunk of us that are struggling with this emotion called anger at God, at myself, at somebody. And the Holy Spirit has spoken to you in here. How many of you, by a raise of hands, saying, would say to me, between God, you, and me, by your hand raised, you're saying, God is speaking to me about this. I am now going to write that piece of paper. I'm going to declare who it is. I'm going to declare what they did, whether it's me or somebody else or God, and then I'm going to throw it away. But I'm going to listen and allow God to speak. Do you remember? I didn't know when I was mad at the hospital about Tahir that it was really God that I was mad at. Listen and be quiet. Allow him to speak. How many of you, by raised hands in here, would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Keep your hands up. This thing called anger. Keep them up. They're all over the place. Yeah, this emotion is real. Lord, you know those who've typed forgiveness online, and you know those in the sanctuary that have their hands held high. Do what we know you need to do and can do in their lives. We need a miracle, and we need it today. And I believe you are exactly the one to do it. Holy Spirit, have your way. You can put your hands down. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Now look up this way. We're gonna do something a little different. We used to do this a lot pre-COVID. We're gonna have you stay seated. Online, don't check out on me. We're going to worship through song. Angela's come and she's going to sing. And the words are powerful, and it's what I just preached. Be quiet and listen. He's speaking. That's not the question. Say it again. He's speaking to each of us. Are you listening? I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit to allow you to listen as she ministers through this song. And just have your time with God and you as she ministers to us. Amen? Please stay online and be ministered to. Angela, team.
Here we go again, my mind racing, and I can't seem to win all these crazy thoughts and feelings. It's like it never ends until your voice breaks through my noise. And I know I'm not alone, not alone. You will find my battles if I will just be still. Why would I keep running when you're words in there.
Well, before I close, I do want to say this. The Spirit just told me that as we went through this service, it may not be as simple as surrender. And if you are really caught up into this thing called anger, would you connect with us at the church? Would you email us, call us? Isn't that what the church is supposed to be? A lot of times it's a process, and we want to walk with you through this. I don't want to just give you a sermon. I really want to come alongside you. So please know that that's what we're here for. It takes vulnerability, it takes humility. But let's be the church. What do you say, church? Amen? Well, I wanna give the benediction, and Pastor Jen will dismiss us here, and the rest of you, I pray you have an incredible day. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace until we meet again. Amen. God bless you.